In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. At the beginning of the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, we find Jesus spending time with people who were considered unacceptable in the eyes of decent religious people. Jesus was speaking to them of the good news of God's love for all people. Some of the decent people began to grumble and complain. He's hospitable to these people, and he even eats with them. He's going to corrupt the church and destroy the integrity of its doctrine. Jesus had heard all of this before, and he was tired of their narrow-minded, prejudicial, self-righteous, legalistic religion. He saw their exclusivistic attitude as oppressive and condemnatory to those who were in need of love and acceptance if they were going to have any life at all. So he spoke to them of the value of what is lost by telling three parables, all recorded in this chapter of Luke's Gospel. One about a shepherd who lost one of his sheep, one about a woman who lost one of her coins, and one about a father who lost one of his sons. The third parable was just read to us. In each case, Jesus sought to express his belief that even one lost person matters, and even one is worth searching for. He set forth in his actions and his teaching how Christians accept into their fellowship the downs and outs of society. Jesus, in the presence of sinners, dreamed of saints. There's a fresh word in these parables for saints and sinners alike today. In these parables, the one who counts is the one who is lost. The shepherd was more concerned about the one sheep than the other 99 that were safe in the fold. The woman was more concerned about the one lost coin than the other 9 which were safe in her purse. And the loving father was more concerned about the one lost son than about the other son who was safe at home. In popular religion, lost generally means being selfish and going to hell. But that's a pretty simplistic meaning, and not a very sensitive one at that. Jesus thought of the lostness of persons in deeper terms. For him, to be lost meant to be unable to fulfill the purpose for which that person was created. Human beings hate to admit when we're lost because we prefer to think of ourselves as self-sufficient. But people do get lost. And when we do, God cannot hold us and love us and finish the new creation God has begun in us. How do persons get lost? Well, we can just wander away bit by bit like sheep. A farmer once observed that sheep nibble themselves lost. They keep their heads down and wander from tuft to tuft, go through a hole in a fence, and just keep going. People do something like that. The biggest temptation is to simply to forget about God. Keeping our eyes on our work and our pleasure alone, we do not make time to look up and get our bearings. And then one day we discover we've lost touch with God. Or we can get out of circulation like the coin. Others of us deliberately pack our bag and leave home headstrong and overconfident like the prodigal son. The tax collectors and other bad characters with Jesus that day were lost. But the religious leaders were lost as well. The only difference being that they had wandered away by another road, that of self-sufficiency, self-righteousness, and self-worship. Their scorn and condemnation of the unholy ones was a lostness of its own special kind. There are many, many ways to get lost. When we are lost, we cannot be all we were designed to be because we're cut off from the very source of life. So for God, even one who is lost is worth searching for, no matter how long it takes until that one is found. But there's another character in each of these parables, the loser. Emphasis is placed upon the loser. The shepherd could not forget his lost sheep. The woman turned the house upside down in search for her lost coin, and the loving parent painfully awaits some word of the headstrong son and watches for his return. Jesus makes it clear that the loser is hurting because the loser loves what has been lost. A Chinese painter heard the parable of the lost son for the first time and tried to depict it on canvas. When he finished, he showed it to a Christian friend. The friend looked at the painting for a while and then said, "The work is lovely, but it's all wrong. You depict the father waiting by the gate, but in Jesus' parable, the father runs out to greet the son and embraces him." And the painter replied, "But no Chinese father would do that." And the friend said, "That's right, but God would, because God loves his children so much." So the painter went back to his canvas and repainted that scene. And when he finished, his new painting had the father racing out to meet his son. When he showed it to his friend, the friend couldn't help noticing that the father ran out in such haste that he forgot to put on one of his shoes. The loser values the one who is lost. The distinctiveness of the gospel is precisely in the fact that God becomes incarnate and seeks us in our lostness, the best of us as well as the worst of us. God goes where we are. God doesn't hide from the world behind plaster walls and stained glass windows. God doesn't draw his robes around him to avoid contamination. No, defended only by the yearning of holy love, God in Christ breaks bread with the lost. A doctor can't set a broken limb from the other side of the street. Love cannot cure our lovelessness from the other side of the sky. God's seeking love is not immune from risk and pain. But the good news is that God has come to the other side of the tracks voluntarily and shares the prison house which remorse and defiance have built for themselves. When the creature showed no reverence for the Creator stooped in reverence before the self-disfigured soul of the creature. God wants those of us who have been found to value one another and those who are lost in the same kind of way. And when that which is lost is worth looking for has been found, there is celebration. The shepherd calls his followers and says to them, "I'm so happy I found my lost sheep. Let's celebrate." The woman, upon finding her lost coin, calls her friends together and says, "I'm so happy I found the coin I lost. Let's celebrate." The loving parent calls for a celebration when a son returns home. These are parables that end with a banquet. When God's lost ones are found, there is joy and celebration in heaven. You and I are the lost ones who have been and are still being found. We gather together here at least once a week to join with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven to be a part of God's ongoing celebration. Our Heavenly Father runs out to greet us while we're still a long way off. God forgives us even before we have a chance to deliver the speech that we have rehearsed. God brings us into the house, clothes us with the garments of celebration, and spreads before us a feast. Remember that the occasion for these parables was a setting in which Jesus was criticized for eating with sinners, ritually unclean persons. To break bread with someone in Jesus' day was to be more than an acquaintance. It was to be a companion. In fact, the word companion literally means with bread. So for him to break bread, to eat with those lost ones, was scandalous to those who were concerned about the company they kept. You know, there's no reason to suspect that Jesus has ever changed the invitation list for the feast. He invites any who are hungry and thirsty for what he has to offer to join him today as that day so long ago. Some of you have been more lost than others for a while. Some of you just wandered off farther than you realized. Others are simply out of circulation. And still others have made some deliberate choices to get lost. But you have been worth looking for. And God has found you and brought you back to your place at the feast. So let's celebrate. Amen.